Welcome to Zero Issues Comic Podcast. On this week's episode, it may or may not be filled with colorful language and words like
it's actually Frankenstein's monster,
putrescent,
Willem Dafoe,
Bo.
I got nothing.
A second Willem Dafoe. But which one's the real Dafoe? To find out this week.
I'm Dafoe. I'm a scientist. You know, I'm a bit of a scientist myself.
I don't know what that voice is.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues. Zero Issues.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Make a fool out of me and you.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Kyle.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Kyle.
He's Kyle.
Hello. And I brought you both here today to Merc's house to tell you something very special.
Which one is Merc again?
Me.
Oh, hi, Merc.
Hi.
Merc?
I guess I'm Bri then. Now I know that.
Why are we here?
For the news. For the news!
Current Zero News Flash.
All right, first up on the news is Keo Morgan has been charged with 5 counts of elder abuse.
Oof.
False imprisonment, fraud, forgery, amongst other things, apparently. And if you don't know who Keo Morgan is...
Yeah, who's Keo Morgan?
There's that guy called Stan Lee. Who passed away a little while ago.
Oh, yeah.
He was the guy that was kind of mixed up in all these allegations. His daughter was saying that Keo Morgan had, false imprisonment.
Yeah, kind of controlling his life,
to get money out of him or whatever.
Yeah.
In June 2018, Morgan moved Stanley from his home to an apartment for 3 days, apparently. And during that time, they made videos. Oh, that sounds horrible. Made videos claiming Morgan is my only partner and my business manager. Days later, Stanley put out another statement saying that's not true and put in a restraining order against him.
Yeah.
Morgan insisted that it was a witch hunt by Stan's daughter. But apparently on May 11th...
You know, when somebody yells witch hunt, they seem innocent.
It always works out for them. Except for the witches, because they're innocent.
Well, they get stitches.
Yeah. May 11th, there was a warrant issued out for his arrest.
There you go.
I haven't seen... I'm assuming he's in custody.
Who knows? He could be in Tijuana.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
At the time of recording, there has been a warrant issued for Morgan's arrest, but no following report that he's been arrested. He may be in Tijuana. Or the Quantum Realm. It's really hard to say. Know what I mean?
Hard to say. I mean, there was a lot of allegations at the time, and obviously he was, you know, a key figure during the unpleasantness. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there's some justice done.
Cause... There was a lot of allegations all around, and not just his direction. Like, things going on with his daughter and people controlling his daughter, or was his daughter involved with it? Not that I'm, like, throwing out hearsay, but I have no idea what these were all the charges.
No, absolutely. It was a big mess, and it was a big, sad mess.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Not a way to end, that off.
Yeah.
Anyways,
on to other things.
So let's not get off that.
No.
Christ. Okay, so recently CW, the network called the CW. They had their
The Cool Wizards.
Yeah. That's it. That's the one.
Mm-hmm.
They had their upfronts including all their shows that are their schedule coming up and stuff to announce. Batwoman's been coming for a while. They had that last whatever the heck crossover it was. They have their regular crossovers all the time.
Do they? Oh, I haven't heard of the CW crossovers on CW.
Yeah. So anyway, they introduced her last year, and now she's got her own show coming, and they put it like a trailer out,
yep.
kind of a trailer. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty decent, but you know, there's still that sheen of CW cheapness
where you're just there's no way around it.
No, there isn't. It seems what's her name? Ruby Rose playing Batwoman. She seems good. I mean, I'll check it out. I'll give it a shot. I'm still watching The Flash for some reason. Don't ask me why.
This week, Barry cries.
Yeah, and just is the worst. And
he's horrible.
Why am I watching this prick? Yeah.
I'm horrible to people in multiple timelines.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So anyway, that show is coming. So how many is it now? I think they have 6 series running at the same time that are based on DC shows on this one network.
Yep. And they're entering the crisis thing, aren't they?
Yeah. So I'll get to that in a second. So like on Sundays, they're going to have Batwoman and Supergirl back to back. So they've got like a World's Finest thing going on. Also, call it World's Finest Night. Come on. That's a good time.
It's the World's Finest Night.
Yeah. Huh. Mondays, they have Black Lightning, which I will say is easily the best of the CW DC shows.
Mm-hmm. I have not gone there yet.
Yeah.
I would like to, though.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot. They got a lot of good music choices. It is on Netflix, and I think it might be like some sort of a different, weirdly co-production, because it feels like that show...
Well, that's interesting. CW Netflix co-production.
Oh, there is that. I don't know if that is 100% the case. That was announced also. We'll get to a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesdays are doing The Flash and Arrow back-to-back, and it's the last season of Arrow.
Good.
Really?
I hate Arrow.
Sorry, I know this is the news, but I hate it. And Legends of DC Tomorrow Town, whatever
it's
called.
The Hidden Temple.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Today.
Legends of Tomorrow. DC is Legends of Tomorrow. Whatever. It's a terrible title, but it can be pretty fun. It's just kind of a silly, like, we're just doing crazy nonsense kind of a show.
It was one of those ones I saw and I was like, that could be fun. And then I've never watched it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know.
Never gave you my time.
They kind of just, they had a plot for like the first season that was sort of based around Vandal Savage and like Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
Yeah.
Or Hawkwoman, whatever you'd call her. And after that point, they kind of just went completely insane off the rails, like time traveling, doing all sorts of crazy nonsense. And you know what? That's fine. Have fun.
Yeah.
That's basically what that show is. Like Constantine, they added to the show recently.
Oh, right.
The same Matt Ryan still playing the Constantine show. And apparently it's even...
It's even more Constantine-y than before.
Oh, I know. So that's all happening. They announced a Deathstroke animated series for their like digital platform, which is called Seed, I think. CW Seed. So it's going to be... They've done a few of them, like Vixen, I think they had like an anime.
Yeah.
So they're doing a Deathstroke one now, because I guess he's been on Arrow, but I wouldn't know, because I don't watch that shit.
But you hate it.
I hate it. And of course they announced, Crisis on Infinite Earths is their big crossover, which they've been kind of teasing for years.
For quite a while.
Yeah.
Like even like when The Flash started, they were teasing doing Crisis at some point. So they're doing it now. And it's going to span 5 shows. I think every show except Black Lightning, because the creator of that show or the showrunner of that show was like,
no, it's stupid. I hate you guys.
I think they kind of just want to be in their own area and not have to get caught up in all this stuff, which I think has actually worked pretty well for that show.
Probably a smart idea.
Yeah. So it's going to be spanning all 5 shows. It's going to be over 5 hours long, the crossover, so which suggests more than just like an episode of each.
Hmm. Well, if it's 5 shows.
If they're 45 minutes
right, good
a piece.
Point. Well, the commercials are also part of it.
That's true.
The skeletons, also part of it.
Commercials are crossing over.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Well, like those Old Spice ones with Terry Crews.
Oh, man.
Starts off and it's like a candy commercial, and then Terry Crews just comes in and he's like, Andy Monitor's here. Bam!
World's finest deodorant.
Ah!
Can they work the cast of Brooklyn Nine-Nine into every episode of this CW crossover?
I might actually watch it in that
case. Exactly.
They would get a bigger audience.
Yeah. And lastly, so CW and Netflix kind of had a deal where shows would air on Netflix after they're on TV. They had some sort of I don't know if it was a co-production deal or whatever it was. It's coming to a close, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, which makes sense because DC is really pushing their own online things.
No, is that just the CW DC shows? Or is that
it might be CW
overall?
And Netflix overall, I think. It might be. I'm not 100% sure on that one because, I mean, they have the the growing... Well, how would that work, actually? Like, Sabrina, for example, is just on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Or is that tied with CW still? I don't even know.
I don't even know. Well, I was thinking, isn't, like, the 100, isn't that a CW?
Yeah.
So that's the same deal, where it airs and then it goes straight, like, the next episode.
So I don't know if it impacts that for sure. What I had read was kind of more DC... oriented, but to be fair,
reading it on a comic book site, so that's exactly what they're going to report on.
That it was a bias.
They never reported on other stuff.
Never. And also, there's a Archie spinoff about Katie Keene.
Yeah.
What?
The very Katie Keene show.
To which I have to ask, who's that?
She was sort of like a supermodel or a model character or something that was like vaguely in the Archie universe. And I think they're spinning a few characters off and doing like, you know, kind of like a high fashion, but it's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be full of wizards and vampires. It's going to just be insane because it's a Riverdale spinoff.
I'm
going to
do a wizard shoot.
Yeah. It's there'll be aliens all over the place. It's just going to go absolutely insane.
Yep.
So I'm going to check that out for a bit and then get tired of it and then stop.
That's the Bri seal of approval.
Yeah.
that's the best you're going to get from Bri.
Yeah.
Bri, 98% fresh.
Yeah. I'm still down with Sabrina. That's pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a show where that's part of the premise, and that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that is all the CW news that I can bear to give you. I hate Arrow.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Alright, welcome to the warm-up!
Yeah!
This was your idea. Your idea?
I think it was Kyle's idea.
Your idea? Whose idea was it?
I fluck.
Oh,
well, Kyle had mentioned that he watched it, suggested I watch it, and then I said, hey, if we both watch
it. Hey, buddy, watch it.
Yeah. And then, Merc decided he's going to watch it. So we have a watch this now. We do read this now often about comics, but this time you're watching it because there's nothing to read except
you could read the several books that it's based on. But
you could do that. That's also true, which I haven't actually.
And what are we talking about?
I read the first volume.
Let's get to the point.
And this would be a new animated movie released digitally recently: Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And
it's a rip-roaring fun time.
It was super fun. It kind of ruled.
Like, I really liked it.
Yeah, I know. I was very pleasantly surprised.
It was exactly as long as it had to be.
Yeah.
And it was an hour and 27 minutes or something, which is just like, there you go. Yep.
And it just had enough seriousness of taking certain characters serious and...
Yeah.
Enough ridiculousness.
I mean, there were some murders.
Yeah.
Graphic murders. Yeah.
Batman gets dark, and the original Turtles was pretty dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, okay, you're doing a nod that it's not just like, oh, we're just like the.
Yeah. No one's like splatting someone in the face with a pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that could also happen.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. I would say like beyond. Only
if you murder them right after.
Beyond, like, the original comics and, like, maybe, like, the IDW at points, I don't think we've seen, actually, kind of this level of kind of violence in a Ninja Turtles
Certainly not
thing.
An animated thing.
Yeah. But even live action, like, they didn't go this far. So that's kind of interesting, especially, like, right now at this point in time. It's like, that, they kind of, like, in Nickelodeon had to be like, okay, let's go there. Let's have them... associated with something that goes there.
Yeah.
So that's could be promising. I would like to see them branch out a little bit animated wise would be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's speculation and we haven't even talked about
movie. Right.
I just gotta say I loved Shredder.
Oh yeah.
How they took him seriously. Yes. And he wasn't like the bumbling character.
He wasn't a goof. Yeah.
He wasn't a goof. He was a ninja.
He wasn't a space alien.
Yeah. And he took on Batman. And
he beat him up.
He beat Batman. Yeah, exactly. That's how that kind of started, basically, which was like a very strong start. That was very cool.
That was a good fight, yeah.
And like, you know, it's specifically them having, you know, Batman, he fights a lot of ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
And Turtles, like, you know, just ninjas all over the damn place. Batman is technically a ninja. But they all kind of had different, like, kind of fighting styles and stuff like that and different sensibilities and stuff, which was kind of nice to see them kind of clash against each other that way.
Yeah.
Plot-wise, I mean, without getting into spoilers non-spoiler.
Yeah. The comic that it's adapted from, it's a, you know, interdimensional sort of thing. Like, oh, we got to get the turtles back to their universe.
Yeah.
They very wisely took that out of the movie because that's a plot point that doesn't need to be covered. If they're just, oh, we're traveling from New York to Gotham. Boy, these places are similar.
It's like when they do the comics where it's like Spider-Man meets Batman. Yeah. It's like, in this story, they're in the same universe. Who cares?
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
I just went to Jersey/Gotham.
Yeah, exactly. I like that one little joke there, something like that. It's like, oh, it's like, this is Gotham. We're from New York City. They're kind of the same.
Yeah. It's like, no, they're different. Gotham's got all these blimps.
Which paid off nicely later in the movie. Very cool. And that's the thing, too, is that they picked, not just for the Ninja Turtles, they picked from a lot of different sources. It feels like that a lot of the Ninja Turtles now is like, okay, there've been a wide variety of different adaptations and interpretations, and we're just going to kind of pick from all of them.
Sure, pick what you need.
Exactly. And turn it into a nice cohesive love letter. And they did kind of the same with Batman.
Yep.
Again, the Red Sky blimp thing, like very animated series. Some of the voice acting. So
Kyle Mooney was a very surprising Michelangelo. I was like, oh.
He's from SNL. I don't know anything about him.
He's been in a few things. The one that comes to mind is a weird movie called Brisby Bear.
Oh.
Where he plays like
a bear.
A guy who was kidnapped as a child, doesn't remember this, and like was raised in a biodome and...
Biodome.
Yeah, it was Biodome. It was basically Biodome.
Yeah.
Weird movie, but...
I was raised by Pauly Shore.
But I think you were going to say something about Batman, who's voiced by Troy Baker?
Troy Baker, but...
Yes. Who
voiced also...
The Joker.
Yeah.
And he very clearly, like, he's very strongly emulating Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
And I gotta say...
Nicely done.
Holy moly.
I had to look it up. I was like who is doing
there's
this?
There's points. Like, it wasn't quite exact, obviously, which is good. I mean, you don't, don't just completely imitate somebody. But there were points where I'm just like, that wasn't? Like, he sounded very close to both. And those are two very different voices and performances. Yeah. And he managed to do a very good job of both. And that takes some talent.
Yep.
Yeah, very good. Tara Strong was still Harley Quinn.
She was. It's been a while since she's played the character.
Yeah, and it was extra grating.
I found it usual. I found it enjoyable. I was like, oh yeah, that's why. Yeah, she's really good at that voice.
She is very good at it. I think like when she first showed up and was like, extra high pitched. Yeah. But I mean, she was doing a bit. But it was, I was a little, boy. Mm-hmm. That can happen. But yeah, like it was just a really fun time.
It's filled with like a ton of Batman's Rogues Gallery. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And
like,
everybody...
Like a massive amount of characters in this thing, really.
And interesting, like I don't want to... It's hard to say the things without... I don't want to spoil stuff for people, but...
Mr. Freeze turns into a polar bear, and it is... Maybe a reference?
I think it is.
Polar bear with an ice gun.
There was the one level in... it was specifically the
Ninja... TMNT 2, the arcade game for the NES.
Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was polar bear with an ice gun. So.
I have to say, Scarecrow as the actual crow looked great.
Yes.
That was very nice.
I posted a picture on Facebook when Harley Quinn kind of turned into a hyena.
Yeah.
It looks like your dog.
That looks like my dog when she goes insane, which is often. And then I had saw it on TV. And got very mad and was just like jumping at the TV barking. And I was just like, okay, here we are.
Oh, you find the voice grating too?
You were talking about when we were you were watching it and saying, mentioning all the references and stuff, especially like the turtle ones.
Yeah.
Well,
like ones that I don't assume a lot of people would even get, but.
Yeah.
Just like weird things.
Like very specific things. Maybe an obvious one. Like I think the first time you kind of see the turtles, it's basically like the poses they make when you first see them in like the original cartoon intro when they're on the rooftops with their weapons and stuff. Yeah.
They do a few of those. There's when the van opens up.
Yeah, they did that whole thing. Exactly. Shredder, when he first drops into frame in like slow motion, is like exactly when he drops down into the rooftop in the first the 1990 Turtles movie. And if you're going to reference that movie, I'm going to want to kiss your face.
Well, there was also Donatello saying Bossa Nova.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, this is cute. This shit's cute.
At the same time, he had like the pizza thrower toy, basically, yeah. with sewer lids that just painted pizzas on and were just throwing at people and probably killing them horribly.
Yeah, there was a lot of explosions, a lot of death.
Yeah, there was a lot of murder.
Yep. Oh, yes.
Cut that guy's head off.
Yeah,
literally, like, it, quite violent. Like, wow, cool. I did like also they in Batman's trophy case, they had like that red suit, which is like the awful original like Bob Kane design for Batman.
Before, I didn't notice that.
Before either Robinson and or Finger stepped in and is like, hey, how about we make this look not terrible? It was like red with like a big wingy cape thing. Yeah. I'm just like, wow, you put that in there. All right.
Good for you. Ta-da. The Batman cave.
Yeah. You had mentioned, kind of in the preamble before we started recording, but I mean, the animation...
Yeah, I wasn't super excited about it. Like, it was fine. Like, it worked, and it was good for the movie, but there was, I don't know, it seemed...
A little stilted?
I don't know if it's, stilted or just, like, the way they drew things. Like, Batman looked, like, the big rounded arms kind of looked a little weird. And then certain other things looked like it was almost in a different style. And I was like, oh, like, I get that you're two different universes and it's hard to make the Turtles and Batman look the same. But,
yeah. I think they're trying to go for, like, something that kind of, like, visually references or at least kind of reminds you of past interpretations and like into something cohesive together. Like the Turtles, for example, all had, they were mostly kind of based on how they looked like more in like the 2012
the
cartoon in a way, because they all had kind of different body types.
Though they were all bigger.
They're a little bit bigger, Not too big, but a little bit bigger.
But I mean, like, muscly. They were like maybe a little too muscly.
Yeah. Really? And that might be a little more like 2003 cartoony.
Yeah,
a little
that's more beefy. It reminded me a little bit of the 2003. Yeah.
Raph, I think, like, his face looking like kind of squared off, like Mignola Hellboy face almost underbite. A little bit. Yeah, maybe underbite, a little too far.
The scar.
I don't remember who did the voice, but I did like his voice, though, because he didn't sound... They often, with Raph, make him sound like... kind of a guy, and it sounded more kind of like Sean Astin-ish, almost a little bit, where it's like, no, he sounds young.
He's 16.
Yeah. He's trying to sound tough, but he's still... When he's not putting it on, he sounds like a kid.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yep.
Well, it was weird. One part that I wish they'd sort of spent a little bit more time on, it was something that they did in the book, where they're sort of working with Batman, and the Turtles are like, okay, this guy is like, he's really overdoing it. He needs to chill out a little bit. And then they sort of learn his origin story.
Hmm.
And then, you know, Raphael has a sort of heart to heart with him. It's like, okay, I get it. Here's why you're an asshole. but you need other people's help. You need to be able to accept other people's help. Yeah. I wish they did sort of do stuff with that. I wish they'd done a little bit more.
They didn't, it wasn't all
because it was really just a lot of it was Batman being like, no, I'm the boss.
It's my cave and we'll do it anymore.
Yeah. It paid off well. The minute Batman said cowabunga, which is a thing that happened in a movie.
I know. I actually physically burst out laughing.
I was very pleased.
Cowabunga. What? Cowabunga?
Well, if we're just doing full spoilers, Ra's al Ghul got kicked in the balls.
And then Leo did like the 5-point palm exploding heart technique on him. Yeah. It was amazing. Like, really good.
I love this stupid movie.
It's so stupid. It's so awesome.
Having Robin and Batgirl in those incarnations was really...
Yeah.
I appreciate it from a design standpoint. Like, again, like, I love that Batgirl costume. That's like my favorite one.
That was a great costume.
I want to say like Babs Tarr designed it or Cameron Stewart designed it or both. Perfect. That's the perfect Batgirl costume. That's the only one you should use. I enjoyed Batman in kind of the blue and gray, like the original, like the old school, like 60s, 70s kind of a look.
Yep.
And then having like just, your usual Damian.
Just Damian being Damian.
Yeah, but those designs, they look great together. Yep. And they all look like, again, like color scheme wise, all very distinct, very nice, very neat. And they did a good job there.
And everyone had their awesome moments. And
oh, absolutely.
I have to say, weirdly, one of my favorite parts was... the end in the credits.
Oh, yes.
With the cover mashup.
Oh, that was, yeah.
Taking classic covers from both
Batman and like Mirage Turtles. Yeah.
And then like crossing them over. So then my favorite being Batman and the Outsiders 1, where he's like, screw you guys, JLA. Hey, I'm going with my new buddies. And it was supposed to be the Outsiders, but it's the Turtles behind him. I'm like, I want that blown up.
What I would love if they would do is like literally if they could make those available where you can get like high quality prints, like just clean copies of them, because
the Leonardo one shot with Batman backing him. I would read that comic. Absolutely. So hard.
Extremely cool.
Or the Turtles one with
Mouser.
The Mouser, right?
Yeah. Where it has like Batman in there too.
The reflection. Yeah.
Or the one where Casey Jones is replaced with Nightwing.
Yeah. Oh, like Disco Nightwing in particular. Solid. Oh, man. Like, even when the first, you know, even the opening credits, not as impressive, but I mean, they had that, like, stark black and white.
It was very Sin City.
It was beautiful in a way. I'm just like, oh, shoot, it's like very Frank Miller, but also obviously very Eastman and Laird. Yeah. And it was just the perfect way to kick it off. Way. I'm like, oh, this is like beautiful for both of these characters. And it's one of those things that, you know, when they started crossing over Batman with the Ninja Turtles, like in the comics, you know, I'm just like, oh, really? That's what you're doing? I guess.
Yeah.
But man, it works amazingly well.
Yeah.
I could keep talking, but. Okay. You should definitely check it out. I think it's available digitally. You can buy or rent it, I think. Mm-hmm. And the physical copies comes out in June at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I will be buying. And I might, you know, usually for movies, I'll wait a little bit and see if it shows up at pawn shops or something like that. Nah, dude.
That one's probably not going to show up.
Probably not. I need it in my life. I'm going to watch that regularly.
What you doing tonight? Watching this again.
Yeah.
Naked.
With a pizza in my lap.
Yeah.
Just wearing a big old shell.
A hot pizza.
Oh. Ouch. What the f***?
Welcome to the main topic. Why do we always say that? Why do I always?
What is this we?
Yeah. Why do I always say that?
Well, it can be kind
You're in the main topic, Jerry. No.
Welcome to the main topic. Today's main topic, pain.
With Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Let's do a Slim Jim. Anyways.
What kind of world is it where I'm dead and Hulk Hogan's alive and has a biopic coming out with Chris Hemsworth?
Oh, that's right.
But it's very much like, from what I've read about it, it's like,
is it going to be tongue-in-cheek-ish?
It's not going to be the Terry Bollea story. It's going to be the Hulk Hogan story. Yeah. So nothing about how, you know, he had creative control over stuff and wouldn't drop belts. And
right.
It's just a garbage person.
That's the name of the picture. Hogan, garbage person.
Hulk Hogan won't drop the belt. Hulk got his groove back.
All right, what we're actually doing today.
I could go on.
And Kyle actually pitched this. Do you want to explain?
Yeah. Brad, you want to explain? No. All right. How long ago was the new 52? It was like 4 years now?
52 years.
No, like 8 years.
Was it 8 years?
It was 2011. It was September 2011. I know this because it all went wrong on me, Kyle.
How does the new 52 predate the show? I feel like we were talking about it.
We were still reacting.
Yeah, I guess. All the number ones were still coming out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The shockwaves, they just emanated for years and years.
But part of the new 52 was the idea that Cyborg, who was previously like a B-lister, he was a Teen Titans character, was elevated to being a founding member of the Justice League. And there was a big push for Cyborg. And I was like, no, he's one of the big characters. He's one of our A-listers. As much as everyone was like, but no, he's not. No, he is now. And because of that push, he is.
Yeah.
I think.
You include him in the stories and then he'll get more.
Yeah.
Well, they always have, and you know, he was the seven, the big seven and the big seven now. Mouching Manhunter. Get out of here.
Get out of here. Beat it.
Go eat some Chacos alone.
Dead bird. What? He's a dirty bird. Man. So today we are picking more characters to... Who would you push? Who would you make one of the big seven?
What's your pitch? Who would be the person?
Yeah.
Which character would be...
Why is this not a bad idea?
And how would it work? How would they get in?
Yeah. My thought process during this was kind of like having that kind of a big seven.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who complements that team. If you have like, here are the Justice League, here are big seven characters.
Yep.
Somebody who fits into a role there that's like distinct and complements that team, like personality-wise, power-wise, or both.
Yep.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm considering this in place of Cyborg, or are we just kind of like somebody who just...
I didn't approach it as if I'm taking one out now.
Yeah. I almost said that like just now when you were talking, like, and who would you kick out in their place? But no, let's not do that.
No, we're not doing that. Martian Manhunter, you're not allowed back in.
Not until you do something about your now weird-shaped head.
Yeah.
He's just in the window.
You could easily do something about it. You are a shapeshifter, and but
you can,
okay.
And you can phase through that window, too.
That's true.
Let me in.
I feel like you just want to be sad.
I just want to be invited. And that's all.
Yeah.
So you go first, then.
Must I?
Well, the way you're... Okay, you were... Okay.
I mean, I'll go first.
Okay, Kyle goes first.
All right.
I'm feeling insecure about this.
So am I, but forging ahead. Yeah. My pick was Zatanna. You didn't pick Zatanna, right?
I did, and then I kind of scratched it out.
Thank God.
Yeah, I scratched it out.
Okay.
You probably picked the one that I picked.
Well, because I asked Merc when I got here, like, who did you pick? And he didn't want to tell me. And I was like, well, I want to make sure that we don't have the same person.
All three of us have the same.
Yeah.
But we'd all have three different takes on that person. That's the other thing.
I don't know. There might be some overlap.
Okay, so Zatanna.
Yeah, the idea being that they don't really have a magic character on the team.
No.
The closest would be Shazam. And he's just, you know, magic Superman.
Yeah. He ain't big seven. He's there sometimes. No.
But so... She's got the magic. She's got the magic in her. She's also a bit of a detective, so she's got, you know, she has a sort of a street level basis in some respects. She doesn't really have a big rogues gallery, which is a bit of a problem.
Right. Yeah.
So need to build that up a little more, and hopefully to have some non magic villains for her, because I think it's always this evil sorcerer is stealing all the candy.
But the thing is, when you introduce a character into an ensemble book, then it becomes a different thing. Then it's like whatever character, it could be Darkseid comes in or Killer Frost or whoever. Yeah. Like, and it doesn't matter because it's all of them kind of working together.
Yeah.
And it takes a different take on that character.
Well, part of my thinking was not just putting her in the Justice League, because like she's been in the Justice League before, but also like elevating her to be an A-list character.
Yeah.
You know, have a Zatanna ongoing, which I'm sure there is one right now. I don't know. I haven't read it.
I don't think there is, honestly.
No?
She like shows up regularly in a lot of books.
She has been part of, I don't know if off and on, Justice League Dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But she's also been in the main Justice League.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Since like the 70s.
Yep.
And that is a big thing, because I feel like, you know, for a good team, you have to have like a variety of powers that cover different kind of aspects, and not having like a magic person, but having like, you know, how many people can fly and are real strong? It's like, how many of those do you need?
So I figure I'm trying to sort of consider some of the character relationships that would be there. So I think with Wonder Woman, she would be very intimidated. It's like, it's Wonder Woman. I can throw birds sometimes. I say things backwards. She's Wonder Woman. So just flat out intimidation. I think with Cyborg, they would, despite coming from very different backgrounds, they're both fairly young characters. And I think, I don't think their different power sets or maybe philosophies would really come into it. I think they'd just be good buds.
Yeah.
I would like to see them being good buds. Batman is sort of a almost sisterly thing, like childhood friends, and they did have an on again off again thing, but that did not work out, and they've just known each other forever.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Batman is somebody who like lowers his guard with, say, like Superman, maybe Wonder Woman, but that would be a different kind of understanding.
Yes,
each other.
Yeah, exactly.
These are people who met him after the fact, and this is like somebody who knew him when he was that kid.
Yeah. And finally with Superman, I think she would maybe baby him a little, because Superman is, you know, invulnerable except when it comes to magic. So I think she would treat Superman. She would
occasionally just do something to him and make him sick.
Or like treat Superman.
Everyone laughs.
Yeah.
Much, you almost killed the strongest.
Just pranking like, him.
She would
day.
Treat Superman like Superman treats humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, no, I think you're great.
No, don't, you did really good. Don't patronize good. Good me. Job.
No, that's good.
I know it's magic and it's not your thing. But you gave it an A1 effort, guy.
You didn't fall down, bud. No. You're getting there.
Okay, you go rest up there, BK.
Yeah, so
I don't like this at all.
I didn't really come up with a way to, how would we, and how would, you know, what's the story to make her join? Because she did.
Like some magic-based threat that they're just like, oh, we can't handle this at all. And like, Batman knows somebody. You know what I mean? Like, she's been
league, as it were.
Sounds like they need a league of their own.
There's no crying in baseball!
But like one of those stories where somebody has to like step in and help them and like really steps up.
Yeah.
And it's like,
thanks, Zoriel.
Fantastic. I originally was thinking Zatanna. I scratched it out.
Thank you.
And I was thinking, like, I do like Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he also serves a pretty, like, at first I was like, oh, because I liked him on the Teen Titans, like, big time. And I was just, felt like taking him out of
that's,
the Teen Titans.
That's one of the things. That was my main reaction is, like, he's already on a team, on this team, and he works really well, and he has
And he's very associated with it.
Yeah. It's hard to break those ties.
And particularly, like, but at the time, with the New 52, they, like, were like, he was never on the Teen Titans. He's never met him. He was always in the Justice League, which... That I didn't like. Like, again, if you literally get, like, kind of a, you know, called up to the big leagues, that's something else.
It seems, if
that's
it's a fine. Character evolution,
yes,
that's good. But that's if it's, fine. Like, let's wipe it and do this, and not just so ignore much. That, it never happened. It's, it doesn't really solve the problem.
And again, he serves as, I feel like, character-wise, he might have been kind of the weakest during that period, just because, again, I think a lot of, like, Cyborg character-wise kind of works in the Titans.
Yeah.
So you take him out of that and, like, also remove all of his history that maybe made him more interesting, and it's just like, well, what is there, really? Yeah, not as much as there.
Yeah.
You need time to build it back up.
Absolutely. Though, again, being, like, a very, like, tech-based character is also something Justice League doesn't really have as much. Yeah. So that... It warmed on me a lot, because I was like, oh, you serve an actual distinct purpose here.
You are separate from the rest.
Yeah. So the first thing that came to mind is, if I'm looking, I crossed out Zatanna, but I was thinking Raven.
Okay.
Because she
I did think of other Teen Titans. I was like, Starfire would also be good for this.
Yeah, that's you could just pick from that team, but you gotta leave someone behind.
Yeah.
But Raven in particular, I mean, one, power-wise and connection to, like, a demonic angle of things is pretty unique, I think, on that team. Also, often that team doesn't really have much of, like, a dark horse kind of a character, where it's sort of like maybe they're not as... Maybe they're skirting that line a little bit more. Maybe they're a little more susceptible to certain things. Maybe, you know, you don't know how they might react to something as much as the other ones.
Everybody except Batman is the Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
When the darkest dude on your team is Batman.
I was going to say, you need a team goth.
And he has
enough of it, Batman. Stop it. You're a prep.
And
he's just emo.
You can't do it.
Exactly. So we get a team goth. And again, like, having a kind of a darker character that has a connection to, like, more of a demonic thing, which I guess kind of blends into magic also. That's kind of why I was able to kind of jump over there. But I feel like that would add a certain flavor to that team that isn't already there. That might be something that would make it more interesting.
Yeah.
And again, when you have, like, a demonic threat is pretty big leagues. You need somebody like that. And maybe, like, they're not as, you know... able to handle that without somebody like that on the team. I didn't have as much as you.
No, I like it.
But I would,
it's not a competition. And I like yours.
Thank you.
and no further questions.
It's my understanding there would be no math done here.
This interview is over.
Okay, so I kind of did it, like, a story-wise. Like, how would I work?
Well, you did it wrong.
Excuse me. So,
but I love it.
I have Black Canary and Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Are brought in to help with a case. And as it's not like this is an uncommon thing, this has happened.
Yeah.
I think they've been
yeah.
part of the Justice League for off and on for a long time. And then, like, as often is the case, they're like coming from the angle of helping the little guy sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like street level sort of thing, especially from Ollie's perspective, where it's, you know, like, well, all these alien things, you guys can handle that. What about just regular guy on the street? And I'm here to protect. I'm the rich guy that's here to protect them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who guards the Guardians?
Yeah. And he plays the political angle a lot, and Ollie keeps
And he plays his theme song a lot.
Yeah.
Hums it. Stupid. Oh, man.
He just has a little recorder.
Why can't we get more of that?
Ollie just keeps bashing heads with the Big Seven all the time.
Yeah.
Which is, again, this is all precedent. This is all kind of happened. But
Dinah, he starts to unionize the play.
God. Yes.
I said before that I hate Arrow. I love Green Arrow.
Oh, and that's the thing. I'm picturing like old school.
Green Arrow beard.
With
like
the beard. Yeah.
Like actual Green Arrow. The one that has a personality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a distinctive personality. Yeah.
So Dinah is the buffer between him
and
the rest of the league. She kind of like, okay, like knows how to control Ollie and knows how to like convey this is what the problem is, and kind of the back and forth.
It's like Sherry when I get real pissed off about something.
So they keep working together, and there's some sort of big case involving several different criminals working together, like different levels, like alien to street level sort of thing. So everybody is kind of working their own level.
Yeah.
Some regular folks, just bystanders, get killed, and Ollie loses it because Batman is too cold. He's like the cold rich guy asshole that doesn't.
Yeah,
I mean, he's another rich guy.
And but they're both rich guys. Both but it's rich. Sort of like you went this direction, I went this direction.
Yeah,
and there's a lot there.
Batman's being the strategist of like, well, sometimes you're gonna lose some people or something.
Yeah,
oddly enough, coming from Batman. But
you have Ollie where it might be like, you know, being like, you're removed from all of this. Yeah, I live here. Yeah, like, you know, exactly. You can't just, yeah.
These are the people I have to see day to day. These are the people I am protecting day to day. So then he tries, he goes to storm out and he's like, come on, Dinah. But Canary stays.
Oh.
So this is where the split occurs.
Okay.
And Green Arrow is gone. And for his beliefs and his point of views, he doesn't want to stay and he can't stay.
Yeah.
But Black Canary kind of sees both sides and sees how she could actually be an asset to that. And the thing I like about her staying is she's human.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's got powers, but like they're not.
She's not super tough. She's not like invulnerable. She's not
invulnerable. Yeah. There's no magic or anything. She's more street level, but there's another woman on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which. Like it's a
well, you have a big seven and like six of them are dudes.
That's well, you
like
know, notice how case. We all picked women. That probably was not a coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly had a couple of other potential choices. It wasn't, but I mean, the clincher was honestly a lot of the dudes can be a little samey in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like personality wise a little bit, aside from like Batman, cause he's a dick.
So like she's a human, she's linked to the streets. She's like part of the regular folk and adds another woman to the team. Besides the godlike Amazon woman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But somebody with like solid feet on the ground to keep them honest.
And she's a badass. Like, especially in later years, she was fleshed out to be a much better fighter. She could take Batman on and do that sort of thing where it's like, that's an interesting take. Like, and somebody who will stand up for herself and not just be like one of the junior members. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, she's not like a lot of the times when they bring in other characters, it's like, you know, like Blue Beetle or something like that, where it's like, I'm literally a kid. I'm basically Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But Black Canary is like, I've been around as long as all of you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can be a strategist and I can be just as smart and tough as all of you.
And I have a motorcycle and it's cool.
Exactly.
And no, you can't ride it.
So yeah.
You ride in the sidecar, Batman.
That would be a great
There's not enough room for my cape. I've got to cram it in. It's so uncomfortable.
It keeps getting caught in the wheels.
That was all by design.
I hate this.
But yeah, I think exactly. You need somebody who
I hate Arrow.
You need someone who sees things that the others might not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
We did it.
Yay. That's it.
We had a goal and we accomplished it. We accomplished our goal.
I'm proud of us.
I have earned this bag of chips.
Now go on, you little scamps. Have yourselves a ball.
All right, I'm Merk. You can find me at merksylum.ca, merkasylum.ca. Merk on Facebook, Merkanaut, like astronaut, on Instagram.
I'm Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic Welcome to Hereafter at welcometohereafter.com. I try to update on Tuesdays.
And I'm Kyle Lees. You can check out my comic at tinyurl.com/skiNinjas, I believe. I'll post it along with the I can't remember it.
The correct website address for Kyle is
tinyurl.com/skiNinjas1, the number one. But that's where you'll find my entire first book, and you can just read it. My first and second books are also available at thekylelees.com. I did a comic called Ski Ninjas. There's no plot, so you don't have to get bogged down with plot. You can just have fun jokes about things such as...
ski ninjas.
Well, I assume ninjas that ski.
Jeremy Irons.
And as always, thank you to Ocean City Defender, Kenneth Preston Merkley, for doing the music, all the interstitial music that you heard, and the main theme music. If you like the show, find it wherever you're listening, like iTunes or through Facebook or where, like the link or whatever, however you get there.
The tin can with the string.
Tin can.
You don't know where it goes, but a podcast comes out.
Ooh. If you're on iTunes, give us a rating. We'd much appreciate that.
Very much
share it around. If you know some friends that like comic books and like to talk comic books and are as nerdy as you and us, then feel free to share.
Nerdy as I want to be.
It's our new hit single. that would be great.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it for now. But until next time,
join us next week when Kyle says,
I hate Arrow.
You son of a bitch, that's mine!
His hat is made of candy and spiders. Spiders. Okay.
Bjork is here.
Spider. He is our hero.
It is the hat is made of candy.
Must stop.
Step on spider.
Wow.
Oh.
Christ. I hate Arrow.
Brought to you by Bri. I hate Arrow.